Welcome to the Grace Fellowship Church of Ephrata podcast. Our desire is to help you grow in your journey with Jesus, no matter where you are. For more information, please check out our website at www.gfchurch.net.
Father, I know that the rain is needed. And I know that we come with lots of things in our head, and Lord, we thank you for a time to come together as a church. We thank you for a time to open up God's Word, which is unchanging. It's applicable even in 2026 to our lives as we go about our week, as we spend time here with our family. And Lord, I ask for people whose minds are maybe a little sleepy, a little groggy, a little foggy, all of that this morning, that you would help us to lean in and to hear from you, that your Holy Spirit would give us engagement and help our minds to connect with your word this morning. May we not leave here the same way that we came in. Challenge people in here to live this out. Challenge people to engage with your word even when they leave here, that you would give us a desire for more of you. And so, God, these minutes that we spend opening up your word, we ask for you to change us, and we ask this on your name. Amen. All right, so let's get into things. Number one, this has popped on my mind. I don't know why I'm sharing this apart from the Holy Spirit. We just sang Good, Good Father. Just a little side note. I don't know if you know the story about the author of that song. But if not, you're about to find out. The author of that song was a man who grew up with no father. And he, as he was writing that song, thought about, what is it that I know about God that when I think about what a father, if I had had one in my life, what would he have been like? What is God like? What makes him a great father? And so when we sing that, and if we sing that again in the future, think about that, about we have a perfect father that loves on us and we have this wonderful relationship with. So we're going to get into the tale of the moral misfit, part two. For those of you that may be new, my name is Dan, by the way. I'm the pastor here. I get to open up God's word and challenge us all with this, including myself. Today, there's going to be a couple stories that I'm going to talk about things that happened in my life. I want to say this right up front. I don't do or try to do a lot of stories just about me, but because this is one of these parts of scripture that really hits home at things that I've had to go through, you may hear a few of them. No, I am not obsessed with myself. Yes, it is hard to pull myself away from the mirror in the morning. Okay, you're with me. Good. Making sure. So, but just from personal example, why the Good Samaritan is so challenging for me every day, you'll see why. So let's get into it. A couple years ago, I was serving at Liberty University. Well, not serving. I was actually working at Liberty University. I was working on my master's degree there. While I was there as a full-time student, I also had a full-time job. That was fun. Let me tell you, still delirious from that. And I was overseeing all of the cleaning staff for Liberty. So I had this position. And so I'm constantly monitoring employees at about 22 that I had to keep an eye on at all times. One of the cool things about that job is that on Wednesday nights, they would allow us to go to, they had a midweek service for college students over at Thomas Road Baptist Church. So all the college students from Liberty, a ton of them, several thousand, would come walking between Liberty and Thomas Road Baptist. There was this big, long hallway called Main Street, and all of these hundreds of thousands, well, not hundreds of thousands, but hundreds and thousands of students would come walking through it to go to this midweek service. It was always a great time. So as we're there, I'm checking on my employees. We were allowed to let our employees go sit in this midweek service and get paid to sit in church. That was awesome. They loved that. Man, that was their favorite night of the week. And so I'm walking around, and I'm at the Main Street area, and you know all the college students are walking. I'm getting my employees in there and stuff, and I noticed that people were walking around an individual who was laying right in the middle of Main Street. I'm like, what is going on? So I walk closer and see what's happening, and it's a teenager. What is going on? And so I start to make my way there. And one of my employees comes up and is like, Dan, it's fine. I'm like, okay, there's a person laying right in the middle where hundreds and thousands of students are walking. What's going on? They're like, They're from the youth group, and they wanted to see how many people would stop and see what was wrong by laying right in the middle of them. And lo and behold, the student saw most of the students just ignored him and walked on by. But a couple would stop there and check to make sure that he wasn't having a medical episode, there wasn't something wrong with him. And so they would stop and check on him, and he'd be like, it's fine, it's a social experiment. And they would walk on. And yet there were some that were like, oh, really? Okay, whatever. And then walk on. They just totally blew him off. They didn't even care. And I looked at that teenager. I'm like, this guy's my hero. I mean, because he made a point of how many of the college students just didn't even care and just walked on by. And maybe if you were a student there, you would have done the exact same thing. It's just a teenager being a teenager. You know how those kids are. Love you, teens. Love you. You know how they are, you know. And so I say all that for this. You know what? That kid was a living example of the parable of the Good Samaritan and what we are talking about these 3 weeks. Every day, you have opportunities around you. Every day. I do as well. And these opportunities are to be able to help individuals around us. And there's a whole bunch of different ways that you can help them. And yet every day, we are distracted from seeing them. Sorry, I had a distraction there. I'm sure you're great people, but this is really important here. We're distracted from paying attention to people, from seeing opportunities, from walking into those opportunities. It's not just phones. There's other ways. And so we end up missing the opportunities that God has put in our lives around us. Or, even better, we aren't distracted. We come up with an excuse. Well, couldn't do it. Didn't have the time. Didn't see it. The sun got in my eyes. You know, that was always my excuse when I golfed. So, that's a joke. Laugh. Okay, this is going to wake us all up this morning because I need you awake. So we make up an excuse. We're great at making up excuses as to why we couldn't help or take advantage of the opportunity that was right there. Today we're going to continue in this story of the Good Samaritan. And I do all of this for this very reason, that I need to remind us at Grace Fellowship Church, 822 Point View Avenue, that we are created for community with the people sitting in this room and the ones that couldn't be here this week. You're created for community to be in each other's lives, minister to one another, serve one another, serve in a ministry somehow in this church. You're made for that. And not just that, we are created to serve in opportunities that God presents to us. Now, last week, if you recall, we did the first few verses of the story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is celebrating. He had sent off 72 of his followers. They ministered. They come back. They're excited. God did great things through them, and Jesus is just on cloud nine. Everything is great. Everything's wonderful. And then it says, in the midst of this lawyer, or in this case, it's a guy who knows the Old Testament law well. It's one that knows the rabbinical laws that have been written afterwards very well. They know at point, at, you know, every period, every I that's crossed, and so on. They know it all. And this guy stands up and he's like, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And so Jesus looks at him and says, well, basically, what does Scripture say? And so he quotes Deuteronomy 6:5. He quotes Leviticus 19:18. He says, you got to love the Lord your God with everything in you. And then you got to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus is like, good job. Awesome. You know it. Done. But the lawyer, it says, seeking to justify himself because there's something else going on here. There was a deeper question that he had. Says, well, who's my neighbor? And we know, and what we talked about last week was the fact that he wasn't really wanting to know who his neighbor was. He was wanting to know who he didn't have to love. And Jesus knew his heart. Jesus knew what he was trying to do here. And that's why Jesus begins the story that we look at today. Part one, well, part two of the story. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 32 is what we're going to look at today. It will be up on the screen. You can look it up in your Bible as well as the Bible app. And it says this. In reply to his question about who is my neighbor, Jesus tells a story. He'd love to do that. You know, you'd ask him a question, then you get the story. Some of us had grandparents like that. You just wanted a simple answer, and they gave you a story. And it's like, but Jesus did this very intentionally. He had a point he would try to make. And oftentimes when you tell a story, it keeps it from being just like sticking your finger in a person's face. Instead, you set up a story. You see this with David when he's confronted on his sin with Bathsheba, that a story is told instead of just saying, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. So Jesus uses a story, a parable. It says this: a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So I'm going to take a few of these, highlight a few things through this. Okay, so a man was going down. One thing that you may not think a whole lot of, but several commentators that I was studying made a point of this, is that when Jesus says a man was, he, number one, points out just a generic man. We'll call him Bob. Sorry, Bob. Bob, that's it. That's all you get about this guy. It's as generic as it comes. And I think that's intentional, possibly. Instead of saying a Jewish man, or a Gentile man, or even worse, a Samaritan man, Jesus just kind of leaves it open-ended. It's just a man. Because, let's be honest, if he would have said a Jewish man, well, then this lawyer would have been very focused on this, and how does this go down? If it was a Gentile man, he's probably a little less interested. If it's a Samaritan man, he doesn't even care. So, Jesus says a man goes down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Just so you know, this is about a 15-mile trek that this man would be walking down. This is a true area that you can see still some of the remnants from back in biblical times. It was known on this 15-mile path, you are walking down 3,500 feet over this. It's pretty steep. And it had a lot of rock formations and caves all along the way. This is if you want to get fancy, a topographical map here, where you get the idea of these 15 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho, 3,500 feet down. It's pretty steep. Even over 15 feet, it's pretty steep. If you want to know how high 3,500 feet is, the second picture shows you a little bit better of a 3,500-foot mountain. This is over in Greenland. You probably can't make it up, but there's like small ships and all this. That's pretty high. So this guy has some momentum. I always love running downhill because I always do better. But he's walking downhill. You don't have a lot of control of yourself. And what was known during this time, and the lawyer would have known, is that this is a very notorious area for caves. Robbers would come out, rob the people that are coming along the way, and so on. So this story fits with something that happened all the time. And so it says that this man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He gets attacked by the robbers. They strip him of everything that he has, and they leave him half dead. Now, it is possible that this individual, why would he be going from Jerusalem to Jericho? It is possible that he was leaving from a time of worship in Jerusalem. He's leaving that time, so just has, you know, his church service type experience, and he's going home, and he's attacked. And so, it goes on in verse 31. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and he saw the man. He passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So now, this man is laying there, you know, half dead, is how the Bible describes him. And a priest is coming. And you have to wonder what it's like to be this man. He sees a priest is coming. Oh, good. If there's anyone who's going to help me, it's going to be a priest. Because they know Deuteronomy 6:5. They know Leviticus 19:18. You should love your neighbor as yourself. So they're obviously going to help me. And this priest, it says, happens to be going down the same road. It is a little bit of speculation with this, but that he is leaving Jerusalem after serving his high priestly duties. He's had a long day of work serving in the temple, and now he's leaving to go home. And along the way, this priest, who's had a long day of sacrifices and all the stuff that comes with being a priest, he sees this man laying in the middle of the road, half dead. And so he did what any other righteous, holy man would do. That's a joke. He walked by on the other side. And then it says this other person, a Levite. Now, here's the difference between a priest and a Levite. A priest was a direct descendant of Aaron, Moses' brother. A Levite was a direct descendant of Levi, who was not Moses' brother. And so they tended to work a little bit more in the capacity of assisting priests in the temple with all their duties and so on. So you'd think the first person that would be helpful would be the priest. Of all people, it would be him. And yet he walks on by. So now this Levite, his assistant comes along. Again, the man's laying there probably thinking, I don't know what the priest's problem was, but hey, at least his assistant is coming. And the assistant follows the example of who he works for. There's a pattern here. It says they saw, going down, they saw, and then they passed by on the other side. In other words, pass by on the other side is if you've got, you know, my injured individual there. This isn't a walk real close and be like, hi. This is a, okay, how can I get away from this guy? So it's like, oh, I didn't see him there. Oh, wow, there was a guy laying there? That's crazy. Totally missed him. They were as careful at getting as far away from the situation as they possibly could. Now, you may sit there, as many people do, and you say, well, why didn't they help? And yes, we can speculate a bit, but I think Jesus has a point in this, that what happens when we have an opportunity, not necessarily a person laying half dead, but an opportunity of an individual in our life to serve that has a need, what's our reason for not helping them? Let's talk about the priest first, though. What are some of the reasons that the priest and Levite may not have helped? Well, a very realistic possibility is that they were afraid of becoming ceremonially, I always have a hard time with that word, impure. The law prohibited in Leviticus 21 a priest, really anyone, to have contact with a dead body. It was a no-no. If you did, you were for at least 7 days considered impure. You could not do temple worship, etc., until you had purified yourself. This guy's a priest. He kind of works there. And so maybe you could say, well, he avoided it because he wouldn't be able to do his duties there for 7 days. Maybe that sounds noble. Or maybe the second reason was that he was just, it's an inconvenience. Do you know the shift I had? Do you know all the animals I just slaughtered? And now I got to stop and deal with this guy. Are you serious? It's just too inconvenient right now. You know what? I hadn't planned on this. You know, if you're a planner like me, you don't like being caught by surprises. And I know some of you are that way too. It's like, you know, had I known I was going to walk across a half-dead guy, I would have allotted an extra hour in my commute home. And then I could have taken care of them. Or maybe it's just he used the excuse of being unqualified. Both of them used the excuse of unqualified. Well, you know, we work in a temple. We're not doctors. I don't even know the first thing that I would even do. I don't even have a cell phone. How am I supposed to call for help? I'm unqualified for this position, so I can't do it. Okay, sorry, bye. Walks around. Or maybe it was just, you know, the good old passing of the buck. Someone else will come behind me who will do a much better job. Let me tell you, they will do great. Me, I'm unqualified. I would just find some way. I'd go to lift this guy, and I'd accidentally conk his head on a rock and kill him. And I don't want that on my conscience. I mean, come on. But you know what? Someone else is coming. I think I saw a doctor behind me. They'll get you. That, in fact, they had mules with them. They'll throw you on the back. It's going to be lovely. It's going to be wonderful. Passing the buck. Make somebody else do it. Regardless of why the priest did it, these are the people who knew the law best. They work in a temple. It's their job. And so they should have had a higher standard for themselves. And yet they neglected their opportunity. They neglected it. They totally walked away from it. They missed it. How often do you and I miss these? A God-given opportunity to serve, to meet a need, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And it's inconvenient. We feel unqualified, or we want to pass the buck. I hate to say that my dad quoted this verse a lot to me as a rebellious teenager, but he did. And it is James chapter 4, verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is what? Sin. The person that knows the right thing to do and says, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't feel like it. No. It's counted as sin. You are literally going against what the Holy Spirit has shown you is the right thing to do. And you quench the Holy Spirit by saying, nah, I'm okay. I'm good. Someone else will get it. I got stuff to do. When we see opportunities in front of us, when God has a person in need in front of us, and we refuse to get our hands dirty, be a part of a solution, hand it off to somebody else, we are neglecting doing the right thing. Now, are there opportunities that maybe we can't do? Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say that there are not those opportunities that pop up where it's like, I can't help, I can't, I want to so badly, but I just cannot right now. The problem is when that's every opportunity that God brings, is that, oh man, I really would love to help you, but man, I got to get home, I got to watch my show, it's on right now. When that is your excuse every time, there's something else going on there. God gives an opportunity, and we have to take those opportunities and do the best with them to our ability, because we know that. And the beauty is this: if you are a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit guides you to those opportunities, helps you in those opportunities, and you better believe he agitates us when we don't take them. There have been opportunities in my life that I passed on, and it just bothered me. Take the opportunities that are there. Sometimes they don't always work out. Sometimes you don't always get to be a part of them. This past week, I went to everybody's favorite place, the dentist, to get my biannual cleaning. So if my teeth look a little shinier today, that's why. As I'm getting ready for the sermon, just crazy, you know, okay, probably from the Lord there. There was a lady across the waiting room there, and it's a pretty large waiting room. And I was doing like any good American, and I was on my phone reading news. Wow, no responses. Okay, now you're here. Okay, making sure. And there was a lady across from me, and I just happened to glance up at her, and she just looked like she was on the verge of breaking down. And I looked down again. I waited a few seconds, and I looked back up, and she started to break down. The irony in this is she had a hat that said, "This is not the end," on it. And unfortunately, right about the time that I was getting ready, okay, Lord, I get it. It's an exam for my sermon this week. As soon as I'm able to just try to think of what I could do for her, she gets called back. I didn't get to see her the rest of the time. Imagine, I didn't get to help in that. But at least the Holy Spirit was drawing it to my attention, and I was beginning to contemplate, what do I do to just check on her, make sure she's fine? I don't know what it was. I don't know. But she was visibly distraught. You have opportunities around you. The person that knows to do the right thing and doesn't do it, to them, it is sin. Around you this week, there are going to be several different kinds of needs and opportunities. I know I keep using that word, but I want you to think about them. And here's a couple of the things this week, as you walk about your day, that we need to keep our eyes open to. There are physical needs. That's the easy one, okay? That's the one that everyone thinks of. Oh, all you need is money or stuff. That's it. Yeah, there's going to be physical needs around you. And at times, it's okay to help people with physical needs, whether that's monetarily or whether that's a possession. You lend them your favorite drill, whatever it is. There are those needs, and we need to be ready for them. and be open-handed at times when we have those pop out with us. I had a student at my youth ministry in Baltimore, and he humbled me. Because he was, we went down to Philadelphia for July 4th, their firework demonstration and all this, and he drove. And we're driving downtown Philly, and we come to a light, and on the corner is your person with the sign, you know, need food, kids, all that. We've seen him here. And rather than him looking away, he reaches down in between the side of his seat and pulls out a cereal bar, pulls down his window, and hands it to the guy. And then the light changes and we drive on. I was like, he's like, I keep a box in here on purpose because I know I'm going to see people all the time. And whether that's what they want or not, I don't care. I'm going to meet the need. That's keeping your eyes and being prepared for those physical need opportunities. Person may have been looking for money, but he did his part in doing the right thing. If you have a sign that says that you're hungry, here you go. Let me give this to you. And he was anxious to help people in that way. So physical needs, service needs. There's things that you can do that others can't in this church and around us. There's been opportunities where I have the ability at a whole, you know, I'm basically a skyscraper at 5'9", that I'm in a store and somebody can't get something off the top shelf. And I could walk around. What was that, Gloria? That's Gloria, yeah. That's how we met. No, I'm kidding, we didn't. You can reach and help a person. And that sounds like all this good deed stuff, but it is. It's a service need. It's helping a person. It's keeping my eyes open for the opportunity. And rather than thinking somebody else has got to help them, oh man, someone else has got to help them, helping them. I've encouraged people even in getting involved in local schools. Reading stories for kids. There's so many ways that you can get involved to meet needs in this area. I don't have to go on and on about that. Encouragement needs. Words have power that material things do not. Words have power. You know right now, I would bet most of us, if you've been coming here a long time and you know some people, you know at least one person in here who could use an encouraging word. If you don't, that's why we need to have community here, because there's a lot of people here that need encouraging words. You don't know that text, that handwritten letter, because that you can still do that. That's not against the law yet. That phone call, you don't know the power that holds to encourage people, and you know individuals around. And you could neglect it and say, someone else will get them. No, I'm not really good at encouraging them. God drops the opportunity, take it. Prayer needs. Wednesday night, we spend a lot of time in prayer. We love to have lots of prayer requests. I, every week, encourage us to be filling out Connect cards. And I know some are like, I'm a private person, nobody needs to be bothered by that. Your family needs to be bothered by that. You don't have to do life alone. The only reason that people say that oftentimes is they want to do life alone. They want to be left alone. But they rob us of the blessing of encouraging and praying for you or for me or whoever. Please, from the bottom of my heart as pastor here, don't be afraid to put prayer requests in. You are not inconveniencing me or the prayer team or Wednesday night prayer or whoever else. If it's confidential, check the confidential box. Then it's just me and the elders. That's it. We would love to know how we can be praying for you every week, not once a month, not just when something bad happens. I don't care. It may seem mundane to you, but it's something we can be praying for. Fill out Connect cards and put those in the offering boxes every Sunday. Make me panic that I have to bring someone in just to type up this 5-page prayer thing every week. That would be awesome for me. I would be so ecstatic. And then costly needs. Reality is this, and with the priest and the Levite, here's the deal. It's going to be costly. They got to break away after a long day of work, help this guy. Who knows how involved this is going to be? They weren't going to go up to the half-dead guy and say, okay, let's see. I'm going to have to pay for a day for a hospital for you. Oh, great. Do you think, is a half day okay? Can we negotiate a half day for you to get help, okay? Because I can't afford a full day. And this has taken time out of my schedule. All of that. opportunities are going to be costly. Every opportunity God brings is going to be costly for us, whether that is our time, whether that's our physical space. Some of us who are clean freaks, such as myself, have to like actually get our hands dirty. I mean, come on, dirt under the nails and all. Opportunities may be costly, and that's just part of it. It's at those times that you need to focus on the need at hand and the opportunity at hand, not your rights. Not your rights. My point today is this: look for opportunities and don't look away. It's very easy for us, like the priest, like the Levite. They were challenged in all these areas. The physical needs part, obviously, the man had physical needs. Service needs, he had service needs. Encouragement needs, maybe those would have been great in that time. Hey, you're going to make it, buddy. Prayer needs, yeah, they should have been praying and it was going to be costly. All those things. For us, this week, leaving here today, look for the opportunities that God is putting in our way and don't look away with an excuse or any other matter or try to pretend like you didn't see it and so on. They're going to be around you. Will we be like the priest and the Levite, or will we be like who we will see next week, the Samaritan? My takeaways for us is this. This is the real, you know, practical part of this. Number one, ask for eyes to see opportunities and follow them. As I said, don't look away from them, but follow them. Follow them. Even when they're hard, even when you're like, I don't know if I should be doing this. We were in Connecticut, and we had just got done seeing one of these Christmas light displays. Oh, surprise, me at a Christmas light display. We go there, and we had to stop at a gas station afterwards. And I go inside, and as I'm coming out, the family's in the car, and you had the gentleman who makes the eye contact with you, and you're like, oh boy, here it comes. Gonna ask for money. And he comes up. He starts asking for money. Now, some of you were raised, even as I was, at a generation that was like, they're just gonna... What? They're just going to use it to buy what? Yeah, see, drugs, alcohol, that's all they want the money for and all that, so you don't give them money. Okay, that's discernment. But in this moment, and this has happened a multitude of times, I'm like, I just got to give it to them. I don't know why, and it's probably not good sense, so Lord, please let me pull out small bills. And it was a 20. And I couldn't go, hey, do you have change? And I'm just like, here you go, dude. I hope God blesses you and helps you with what it is that you need help on and all of this. And as I'm walking to the car, I'm thinking, please, Beth, don't ask how much I gave him. Please, Beth, don't ask how much I gave him. It was just, and I'm cheap. I admit it. You know, I'm cheap. So, but I just had to entrust it to the Lord. Did he blow it on drugs and alcohol? I have no idea. You know what? He may have actually blown it on himself to eat or to feed a family member. I don't know. And it's in that moment that I just have to say, God, I commit my way to you, and you do with it your will. But I met the need because the opportunity was there. I could have stepped aside. I could have said, oh, hey, I don't have any cash on me. It would have been a lie. Ask for the eyes to see and follow those opportunities around you. Most of us are going to have an opportunity this week, if not today, if not before you leave this place. Take it. Use it. Instead of walking away, walk towards it. And then just lastly, prayerfully increase your commitment to serving. This is more of a church push here. One of the reasons I felt strongly about doing this is if you talk to me long enough, you're going to hear about the shortage of help in many areas of our church. And I know not everybody's gifted to be a drummer here. I know not everybody's gifted maybe to be a greeter, okay? You don't smile. I love you, but you don't. Or you do the dead fish handshake with people, you know? I need someone who's, you know, firm. But, one, you can learn how to have a firm handshake. Anyway, so if you've just been helping once, twice a year, maybe you do something monthly and that's it. It's very low commitment, easy. Would you, over the next few weeks and months, prayerfully consider stepping that up next year, even the summer into the fall, especially the fall? You've been a part of a grace group. Now maybe it's time for you to lead a grace group. You've been helping as a greeter, but you always love saying hi to the kids. Maybe it's time to get involved in children's ministry, even as an assistant. Maybe it's you only help when we do certain events, but now it's time to actually become a greeter. There's so many areas for us to serve here, and we do try to list them in the bulletin, and there's some there we don't even have listed because there's that many. We ask for you to prayerfully consider upping your commitment to serve, because the needs are there, and you better believe the opportunities are there. What will you do with what God is putting before you? Will you close your eyes? Will you find a way to get around it? Or will you be in it? And then lastly this, less symbolism, more substance. And what I mean by this is less symbolically saying, yeah, we really as a church should be doing that, and then doing nothing. Substance is doing something, putting your money where your mouth is. You know, if you put the Good Samaritan in a modern day context, and I want to be careful with what I say here, hopefully no one's triggered with this. What if the priest and Levite just stood there by this half-dead man and yelled about the injustice that's been done to him and said it's the government's job to take care of him? Or better yet, you know what, I'll text 911 while I'm walking away. Not going to help you, but I'll get somebody else to help you. I think we'd be ashamed of that. And yet we are called to, I know people who have complained and protested and drawn awareness and attention to certain things that I watched their life and they didn't lift an actual finger to do anything about it. It was just a lot easier to complain, a lot easier to protest. Less symbolism, more substance. If we see the opportunity, do something substantive about it. I close with this story. Just one of those weird opportunities that happened to me. We're living in Baltimore, and I had about a 3-mile drive from church to home. And I turn on this one road that I travel every day, and I go down it and say, you know, houses on both sides, really nice area. It's got this big dip in it and all this stuff. And one day, after a long day of serving with teenagers and youth ministry and people and all that stuff, and I'm just fried. I'm driving down this road, and I come over the hill, and there's an older man standing in the middle of the street with a piece of paper in hand doing this. I had a long day of work. He's in the middle of a street. I could have just said, nah, I don't have time for this. I don't see you, I don't see you, I don't see you. But for some reason, I know why, the Holy Spirit prompted me, stop. So I stopped. He comes up to me. I roll down my window. I was like, yeah, how can I help you? It's like, I have this phone number written on this piece of paper. I'm supposed to be calling it for jury duty. I have no idea what this last digit is. Could you come into my house and help me dial this thing? Sure, let's go nuts. Pull into his driveway. Go into the house. I'm trying to figure it out, and I think we dialed 3 numbers, and 2 were pizza places. The third one was it. It was the jury number. And I'll never forget, you know, he talked to them. He actually spoke Russian fluently. He was a translator, and it was a court case that he was being called into to help out with somebody who spoke Russian. And he gets done. He hangs up the phone. He's like, oh, I got to thank you. I got to thank you. I go to the Catholic Church down the road. He's like, I tell you what, you know what? You don't have to put a dollar in the collection basket this week. I said, well, actually, I do. I'm a pastor. And he laughed. And so it was a great story. Got to talk a while for him and get to know him. His name is George. And I get my car and I drive off. And I thought that was it. Until 3 months later, George was in the middle of the road again. And I'll be honest, I don't remember what it was this time, but I had to stop, get in his house, and help him again. Now, I could have driven by the opportunity. I had every excuse about being tired and all of that, or somebody else can handle this. He's got neighbors. Why does he just call on his neighbors or call his kids? But you take the opportunities that God brings to you, because the person that knows to do the right thing and doesn't do anything about it, to them, it is sin. Let's pray. Father, as we leave here, as we have opportunities before us, you are preordaining them right now. You will drop them in front of us at sometimes the most inopportune times and most inconvenient of times. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be ones who are doers, whether it's in this church, whether it is in our neighborhood, our workplace, as we commute, I don't know, Lord, but you have it. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be courageous, protect us from danger, certainly. But Lord, to be courageous, to live and to step into those opportunities that you give us. And Lord, may you do something wonderful through it. Give us the opportunity to share about you in some way, even if it's just little. That you give us an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and they would know something is different about us and how we treat one another. That we love our neighbor as ourself. And so, God, may we be faithful this week as we seek to do what you call us to. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. If you would like prayer, you can send your prayer request in to prayer@gfchurch.net, and we will pray for you. If you like this message, don't forget to subscribe on the podcast app, Google, or Spotify. Give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to seeing you next week.